In May 1925, Tony and Rod Schutze's family expanded with the birth of Frankie, their son, in a tent at Barron's River. At the end of the summer, they return to the trap line and will accompany them through the memoirs of Tony Schutze. When the family reached the point at Whiskey Jack Lake where they had left the freight canoe the previous winter, Rod left Tony and Frankie and paddled alone to the site of the cabin where they had lived the season before. A forest fire had devastated the area, and the cabin was gone. Checking through the rubble, Rod was able to salvage only a small enamel pot that had been outside the cabin. Quickly, he returned to their landing site and gave Tony the news. The first order of business would have to be the construction of a new cabin right here on Whiskey Jack Lake, where they could reach it with the freight canoe and no longer have to portage their goods over the Cranberry Rapids. Working together, with Frankie playing close at hand, the cabin was speedily built, snug and secure to face the coming winter. Rod made a brief trip to Barron's River to bring back a window and extra glass for the window he planned to install in the cabin door. In an effort to make the cabin easier to heat, he also brought back a roll of building paper, which he stretched from rafter to rafter, leaving an air pocket between the cabin roof and the paper. It was light-colored and helped brighten the interior. As the winter passed, however, Tony was to discover some disadvantages also. Log cabins have chinks and small holes in them, and every enterprising mouse for miles around was seeking warm winter quarters. Many of them moved right in with the Schutzes. Many a winter's night, when Rod was checking his trap lines, Tony was kept awake by the unending scurrying of numerous rodents up and down the building paper attic. Shouting at the mice brought brief spans of relief, but sleep was elusive and many nights fitful. Frankie was a happy, healthy child, and Tony relished his companionship when Rod was away. The last winter's washboard destroyed by the fire, Rod set about constructing something to help Tony with the laundry. With much more washing to do now that Frankie was with them, Rod considered how to keep Tony's hands out of the water as much as possible. With a piece of metal he could shape, he made a cone-shaped vacuum plunger, complete with a handle made from a stick he found in the bush. Independence and self-reliance were the watchwords in living in remote areas. They were very short of meat during the winter, and Rod set out one day to see if he could hunt down a moose to tide them through a few months. He usually came home just around dark, since traveling on foot in the bush after dark could be dangerous. Finding one's way without light of any kind is not easy. Tony was becoming alarmed by the time she finally heard his footsteps outside the cabin around 8 o'clock. Rod took his snowshoes off outdoors and strode into the cabin. His first moccasin to meet Tony's eye was covered in blood. She was instantly afraid that he was hurt. He had not noticed that in his haste to deal with the butchering of the moose he had shot, he had splattered blood on his foot. Rod had shot the moose just at dark, far from the cabin, and had hastily made the necessary preparations on the carcass before returning home. Next morning, he took their hand toboggan and brought the meat home. We can all imagine Tony's relief to find her husband unharmed and meat to feed them for the winter. Next week, Tony considers her life in the bush and how it measures up to her romantic, youthful dreams. I'm thankful that Eileen Wojtowicz, Tony's daughter, agreed to share the family's tribute to Tony and Rod Schutze. A copy of Tony's memoirs, We Shared Each Other's Gladness, is held by the Legislative Library at 200 Vaughan Street in Winnipeg, in case you want to read the whole story. I'm Judith Hudson Beattie in Winnipeg. Goodbye, until next time.